Press the button.
Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Hi.
Well, I am not Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky. I am Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 22nd, 2010, episode 16, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World. And I would say good morning to Glenn, but actually he dropped off just a couple of minutes before. Right as the show was starting, Glenn disappeared. Jennifer, can you believe that?
We're getting ready to go on air, 5 seconds to go, and all of a sudden I get this message. I'm not here. Oh, he just decided to take a break. So, you know, it's the Jennifer and Jamie show. Now we can talk about him.
I think it's the Jamie and Jennifer show. Thank you. Well, first of all, good morning. Wanted to give you a little bit of news from yesterday. First of all, I'm here. After doing the bomb proof clinic, Jennifer, I made it back into the world. Escaped. We're going to actually talk to Mary Sutherland coming up. She's the one who did the clinic with me. Mm-hmm. But we actually, this is the breaking news for Phoenix. Jennifer, guess what happened yesterday? It rained.
Really?
It rained in Phoenix. We got dumped on. Our farm got dumped on yesterday, which is so unbelievably exciting for those of us who live here because it's never happened. So that was kind of the good news that we had also from yesterday.
You get rain like what, twice a year?
Maybe. We have like a little monsoon season in August, but the past couple of years we haven't had anything. So it rained and it actually was so unbelievably windy yesterday. So I'm sure that we're going to talk to the clinician who held the bomb proof your horse clinic yesterday and like 40 mile an hour gusts.
Ooh, so that right there.
It was a very exciting morning for trying to do a bomb proof your horse clinic. Glenn, are you there?
I'm here. Sorry about that. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. That's okay. It happens. We
you know what happened?
It was my
fault this time. It wasn't the system's fault. I accidentally hit my power strip off button with my foot. It's like two seconds before we were to go on air, and I was going, oh, man, I'm not talking to anybody. And then I realized I got booted, and I was hoping that you'd figure it out as the show started.
I did. It became the Jamie and Jennifer and Jamie show for about, you know, a minute. Then the boys are back. Boys are back in town.
I can hang up again if you guys just want to take it.
No, we need you today, actually. What is the schedule coming up this week, Glenn? That's kind of where we were when you joined back. Tell us what's going to happen this week. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody, by the way.
For our listeners around the world who don't realize it, this week is Thanksgiving week, our Thanksgiving week here in the United States, which means we have Thursday off, which means that leads to Friday, which is Black Friday, which means everybody goes shopping. So what we're going to do here at the show is we're not taking Thursday off. Well, sort of. We're pre-recording Thursday's show, so there will be a show on Thursday, and it'll be a very special episode. We have Mary Ann Kennedy, who is a very famous singer-songwriter from Nashville, Tennessee. She's going to be on with us, and she has put out 4 different CDs all about songs about horses and dogs. So we're going to play some music on Thursday, but it's going to be recorded. You won't be able to call in, but please tune in. You'll love the show. It's going to be very laid back, a lot of music, and all the music about horses. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we will have shows live Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, recorded on Thursday, and then we'll be back live on Friday. I guess we're not going out shopping in the morning, or if we do, we have to be back by 9. So we'll be back, and we'll have a show for you on Friday as well. So the only day we're going recorded this week is Thursday because of the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States.
Now, I do want to point out that listeners that are in other countries just heard you describe the week of Thanksgiving as Thanksgiving is a day we basically all sit around and eat, and then Friday is a day that we all go shopping. What
That's
a bizarre
pretty much
country. What a bizarre country we live in that Thursday we all eat and Friday we all shop. That is a
yeah.
holiday if I've ever heard one. What this is Thanksgiving is the greatest holiday ever.
And you're going away, too. You're going to be on the road recording, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. You'll be in Oklahoma.
Yes, I'm going to head to Norman, Oklahoma, go see the in-laws. My first Thanksgiving as a married woman, so we'll be there. Now, I love my in-laws. I really, really do. They're great people. I'm really lucky to have them. The one thing I am not looking forward to is that... Oklahoma is really, really cold this time of year, and his parents, all their guest bedrooms are, they have two guest bedrooms, and they're both upstairs, and they will not turn the heat on. It's like they don't want to heat that wing of the house. So by the time we get there, it's like 45 degrees in the upstairs bedroom. So I told him, I started last week, we call him every couple of days, you got the heat on yet? Did you turn the heat on? He called last night and he said, we got it warmed up to 55 by now. So you should be pretty happy by the time you get there. 55 in the
well,
upstairs bedroom.
There you go. 55, that's not too bad.
That's terrible. I live in the desert. I want it to be at least 90. So we shall see what happens. Broadcasting, you might hear me chattering my teeth, but I will be broadcasting live from the Jennings household in Norman, Oklahoma. So exciting, exciting.
Well, that sounds like fun. I was just glad when you said Oklahoma that they actually had internet. That made me happy. Otherwise, you weren't going to be on the show.
They actually have electricity and indoor plumbing and internet. It's amazing.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's special. And I know they listen to the show, so hi, guys. We're looking forward to having Jamie broadcast from your home there in Oklahoma. And we appreciate you letting her use your internet so she can actually connect.
They're offended. They're like, we have internet?
Well, we have a great show for you today. We also have a lot of things planned for this week that are fun. And I wanted to say, though, we got a tremendous reaction to the piece, to our caller on Friday about Moito, the horse that was stolen. And Bernice that called in, and we got quite a reaction to that. So I wanted to mention that on Wednesday, we actually heard from the nice lady who runs netposse.com. If you remember right, Jamie, you talked about Matt Posse on the air on Friday.
Yeah.
Well, she wrote us a very nice email, and she is going to be on the show with us on Wednesday to talk about Matt Posse and why it's there, and also to tell us what we can do to avoid having our horses stolen. And I noticed that she sent on another alert. Another horse was stolen over the weekend. Fence was cut. Was taken right out of the field. So, you know, I'm glad that she... show. So we have a lot of interesting things. On Friday, Jamie, we have one of the world's most renowned horse photographers going to be with us. And
who?
She is, I'm not telling you yet.
Oh,
so
okay.
She is
I'm
gonna,
sorry.
I'm keeping it a secret here. She is going to be with us we only have one guest on Friday, and that's her. And she has traveled the world. She just got done with the King of Morocco doing photography for him. She's a fascinating lady, and we might have some things to give away, too, that are related to her on Friday. So, and you'll be able to call in. So that's going to be a lot of fun. You'll be able to call in and talk to her as well. So I think that we have just a great week, a holiday week. We're all looking forward to some good eats and apparently some shopping. So
Yes, there's no way my mother and I and sister-in-law are not going shopping on Black Friday. I'm so excited. you know, speaking of shopping, there's one last thing that Beth Hires has to shop for, because on Friday we gave away an Eco Gold, you know, a choice of a couple different pads with a half pad. And Beth Hires, I think I'm saying that right, Hires, is the winner of that. And she called in and also posted on Facebook. So, you know, you're eligible for these prizes if you call the show, which is 347-637-3238. Or you're eligible just posting on Facebook. Tell us where you listen. Tell us when you listen. Send us a picture of your horse. Post it on our wall. So please do that. And Beth says, hi. She listens to Horses in the Morning on her iTouch. She listens to the podcast normally, but last Friday she followed the instructions for the iPhone and listened live, called in, and she also put up pictures of Pip, her mini, and Rummy, her quarter horse. So happy Thanksgiving to Beth in Georgia, and we do appreciate you being a part of the show. Of course, you can too, so you have no excuse.
And today, Jennifer's going to let us know what we have to look forward to on today's show.
On today's show, we have our first visit from Dr. Dan Stewart, who is psycho. No, not really. He is the world's leading expert on equestrian sports psychology, biomechanics, and athletics. Say that three times fast. Don't miss this one, because Dan is fascinating, entertaining, a little edgy. And as usual, we have calls from our listeners. We're going to be covering the tweets and the Facebook posts. So those of you who can't call on your phone because your boss is listening, tweet us or drop a Facebook post. And Glenn does his best to keep up with those and read them live on the air. And that qualifies you, as Jamie said, for prizes. So we're looking forward to hearing from you. So who knows what's going to come up. And I believe Jamie has a couple of stories from her weekend, too, doesn't she?
Yes,
she does. I wanted to add, too, that Kathleen Dodds is joining us today.
Oh, that's
if
right.
You remember right, we've been covering her on Stable Scoop. And she is 3 days away from finishing her cross-country ride. She started in Oregon 6 months ago and has been riding her two horses, or two apps, across the country. And she's now in New Jersey. And you're going to want to hear where she's going to finish her ride, and you're not going to believe it. So she's going to finish her ride this week. And we're going to talk to her later this morning about where she's ending up. And as I said, you're just not going to believe it.
Yeah, we laugh because it's so unbelievably ridiculous, the timing that worked out to her last ride and where she's actually going to finish. So you're definitely going to want to stick around and listen to this. Also, you can call, you can ask her questions, you can talk to her. And if you do get through, you're going to win the Omega Alpha Welcome Pack valued at $150. You can go to omegaalpha.ca. But it's all sorts of different products from Omega Alpha, including the Chill, the Biotic, the Gastro FX, the Fly Spray. I mean, just a little bit of everything. And it also qualifies you for a $500 shopping spree from Equestrian Collections, which we give away at the end of the month. And people, that is near. Black Friday would be awesome with $500 from EquestrianCollections.com. Also, you get your choice, or another prize, is your choice of SPG Bridal and Reins worth up to $600 donated by WorldEquestrianBrands.com. So be a part of the show. It's an easy thing to do. Tell us where you listen, why you listen. Give us a call, 347-637-3238. And that will, you know, then you'll be a part of the show.
I just wanted to clarify one thing there, Jamie. One person will win. We'll choose one winner out of the calls today and the Facebook. Yeah, you sort of indicated that everybody would. I wanted to just clarify
that.
Oh,
they know better than that.
Just wanted to not have any legal problems later in the day. I mean, I'm already stepping on the off button and cutting myself off in the show today. So, hey, so you went to this clinic. Tell us about it, and I think we're going to try and get the clinician on the line here.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I went to a bomb-proof your horse clinic yesterday, and it was about an hour and 20 minutes away. So me and my two riding girlfriends, two of the three of us, loaded up our horses and went all the way across the East Valley to, I believe we were in Chandler or Mesa, Arizona, which it's like you drive all the way through downtown Phoenix and you drive an hour and a half and you're still in downtown Phoenix. And that's where the clinic was, because Phoenix is so spread out. And I live on the very west side of the town. So we get there And it was actually really, really cold for us and windy.
But it was 72?
Oh, my gosh. No, it was like 62, okay? That's freezing.
Okay.
So our blood thins rather quickly.
All the listeners in North Dakota where it was minus 20 this morning are really going, I don't feel sorry for you.
Yeah, but you know what? They're a lot tougher than I am, and I will give that to them every day, is that anybody who can live in the cold weather is way tougher than I am. But anyway, so we get there. It's windy. It is blowing. And we unload the horses, and there is an obstacle course set up in the arena with, oh, my gosh, the stuff they had set up was, you know, the tarp on the ground, obviously. They had the streamers hanging off the poles. They had the garbage bags full blowing around the arena. So it was just the challenge, which we actually had to put everything kind of in the corner because none of us could even get our horses in the arena to start because there was so much stuff in there and the wind was blowing around so fast. But it was a really good experience. And I was, you know, as horse people, you can never learn enough. It doesn't matter, you know, who you are or how old you are, or how long you've been around horses, just to learn anything and as you continue is a great thing. And I think we have Mary on the phone right now. Mary, are you there? You're on the air.
Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
A little tired after our long clinic yesterday?
A little bit, but not too bad.
The wind, what?
It's nice not to have all of the wind.
Yeah. Well, that was, but it's a bomb proof your horse clinic, right? I mean, it's
yeah, anyway, that's what I was thinking. Just added to it.
Yes.
But I bet you didn't think when Jamie showed up at the clinic that you would be having a internet radio personality and then be on the air the next day.
No, I didn't. I didn't quite believe that.
Well, here you are.
You thought I was lying?
No, I mean, I was surprised to hear that I was going to be on the radio the next morning.
Well, tell everybody how the clinic works and what your kind of your background is, because you have studied with a lot of amazing people. Tell us about the background, your background.
I have. I was fortunate to be able to hang around a lot of pretty famous people. I'm a certified instructor under the Pirelli program, and I was a certified instructor for him for 10 years and got to travel on the road with Linda and Pat Pirelli for about 3 years while we went and did expos and shows and clinics. And during that time, I got to meet Clint Anderson and Monty Roberts and Craig Cameron and Ray Hunt, Tom Dorrance, you know, just some of the wonderful people that have started Natural Horsemanship, and learned a lot while I was on the road, and then followed up by going to some of those clinics and helping out and learning how all of the methods would intermesh to the best for me to use.
Right, and I really feel like my friends, especially Joanna, was so excited because she had a really spooky quarter horse, and
uh-huh.
She got so much out of the clinic, and came, but she was in the car bubbling with excitement the whole way home, and her and Jamie are also always like, we got to set up the bridge, and then we have to get this, we have to do this, and so they were already building the obstacle course at the farm that they board
great.
At, so that was really exciting, but I guess, you know, you got to use my horse in one of your demos. And she asked, she said, is anybody's horse afraid of a plastic bag? And my hand shot up. I'm like, take my horse.
Right. Well, yours and a couple others. A lot of horses don't do plastic. That's a pretty common one. And your horse is interesting.
Why is that? Why is that, do you think? Why don't they? Why is plastic the thing?
Well, I think for a couple of reasons. It sounds kind of like a lion in the bushes or a rattlesnake. But it also,
changes shapes, and of course, especially on a windy day, it's even harder to do plastic. And so, you know, it's just a real, it's one of those innate sounds, I think, that Mother Nature told him it's not a good sound. But, but
and on a windy day, 40-mile-an-hour winds, plastic sounds really wicked in the
air. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like a big lion. But, well, on a windy day, they're already more perceptive to danger because they know that one of their senses isn't working very well. They're hearing, and actually they're smelling. A lot of their senses don't work as well on windy days. So, you know, there's a lot of challenges in that kind of a situation. And it was nice that we were able to work through a lot of those things at the clinic. But her horse, Jamie's horse, was kind of cute in the fact of, He didn't like the plastic, but I wouldn't say that he was terribly afraid of it. He was just making the choices of if he wanted to deal with it or not. And it was really neat, you know, after we introduced him to it and stuff, how he started to understand that it was okay and he could handle it.
Yeah, he actually makes lots of choices on his own. Maybe choices that you don't want him to make all the time. But it's funny because I rode him over to my friend's house and then we loaded up from there. And the two things that my horse is terribly afraid of are bicycles and plastic bags. And as I was riding down the road, somebody on a bicycle goes zipping by. Of course, my horse ends up, you know, on the other side of the street. And then I turn the corner to go into their farm, and a plastic bag blows across the road and, you know, hits him in the foot. And I was like, oh. And then he jumped sky high, 3 feet in the air. And I thought, this is going to be great.
See, that was just a sign that you really needed the clinic.
I know. It was great.
He's a cute horse, and to imagine that he's that afraid of bikes is kind of funny because he's a really smart horse.
Oh, we have a gator. I can pony him from the gator, and it's just the bicycle.
How did you teach her horse to overcome that? What are the steps?
Well, there's several different things, you know, that go along with desensitizing, and you can desensitize in the wrong way and make it a lot worse. But it's when you release. It's how you approach and when you release, and also not going into their comfort zone too quickly. If you go in with the bag too quickly, they just absolutely can't handle it. But if you go to the edge, find out where their comfort zone is, say it's a foot away, and get it good there, and then go in a little bit more, allow him to smell the bag rather than touch him with it right at first, and don't release necessarily when you're at the edge of his comfort zone and he wants to move. Just kind of stay with him. And then the third thing that really helps is we actually then switch modes and move them with the bag. We drive them away, and we get pretty clear in the driving part. And then he looks at it like, well, if that's the worst it can be, I guess it wasn't so bad. And by the way, why don't you just rub me with it rather than drive me away with it?
Okay.
And so he really starts to see the difference, and it narrows down his choices, but he's still choosing to accept it, not, you know, it's not being forced on him.
Yeah, and he did choose, but Mary, I want you to tell everybody what a superstar my pony was on the bridge.
Oh, he is. He is really good at doing obstacles, and he likes doing them, and he did great on the bridge. And it was a kind of a scary bridge because it had big gaps in it, and it kind of looked sort of like a cattle guard almost. You know, it was kind of different looking, and he did really great. And you can see how he really tunes into you, Jamie. He really listens to what you're asking of him, and you've developed a good relationship there with him.
Oh, thank you. It's taken a long time. But one of the guys said, he goes, I can't believe how fast he went up that bridge. It didn't even bother him. And I said, he's an event horse. He has to charge through water, over ditches. He better not have a problem with the bridge.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, you've shown him that whatever you ask him to do, it's okay. You know, and that's the important part, you know, where you could take him to something he's never even seen before. And the fact that you're establishing yourself as a leader for him, he'll be more able to do it.
Well, he is definitely my special friend, and I guess, you know, if I was going to ask you, Pirelli has a horse that he loves. John Lyons has a horse that he loves. Do you have a favorite horse?
Oh, sure, my Palomino mare named Savvy.
Oh my gosh, you named her Savvy.
Mm-hmm.
Is every Pat Pirelli student's horse named Savvy? I love it. I love it. That's a testament to your your confidence in his training and his ability and I guess what you've learned from him too, huh?
Yeah, it is a wonderful program.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for the clinic yesterday, and thank you so much for being on with us. I guess, Glenn, do you have a – I thought you had some questions that you thought, you know, you were going to get some funny answers out of, Glenn, but I was pretty good yesterday.
I know. See, I was waiting for this to be a disaster. She got bucked off. She was in the hospital, had a broken leg. I had all of those things in my mind, but none of them came true, so I lost all of my funny bits this morning.
Okay,
well,
what do you,
you
want
know,
to
pretend? It definitely could have gone that way with the wind, and we had some new people there, so there was really a lot of challenges for all the horses out there, you know, and I think everything went really well, you know, considering some of the things that we were up against. It was a nice clinic.
Well, see, so what happened, in other words, Mary Sutherland did too good a job and it basically ruined my morning. that's what it is.
See, that's
well,
why
you know,
I wanted to have her on.
You have to give some credit to Jamie too. Jamie did a
yeah,
great job.
Glenn. Give me credit, Glenn. Jerk.
Thank you, Mary. We appreciate you being on. Hey, is there any way people can find out where your clinics are?
Sure. I'm in the process of working on a website right now, but the only way right now is through my email at marysutherland@msn.com.
Okay, so that's marysutherland@msn.com. Thanks, Mary. And by the way, thank you for taking care of my co-host. I really did need her in one piece.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much, guys.
Bye. There goes Mary. Thanks to Mary for keeping you alive. I really appreciate that.
Glenn, you're so bad. You're like so basically nothing happened. There's no
it's
drama.
It's Monday. I'm in a mood. I'm in a mood. It's Monday, you know.
Your horse
I'm
is
glad
good. The clinically
sounds
great.
Like, yeah.
You're like,
sounds
I don't
like
care.
Everything went fine. That's super.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. Let's take a break for our sponsor this half hour is Omega Alpha. And we're going to hear from Jessica Phoenix, our friend, all about Omega Alpha. And then our next guest is going to be Dr. Daniel Stewart. And we absolutely love having him on. He is so much fun to talk to. And I think it's the first time you're going to meet him. So I'm really excited for you to meet him. And I think you're going to have a ton of questions for him. So we'll get him on here shortly. But let's first take a break for our sponsor this half hour.
Omega Alpha Pharmaceuticals creates only natural health products. Their scientists, guided by Dr. Gordon Chang, formulate a wide variety of mainly herbal health products to address many equine health problems. And one of their users is international Canadian sensation event rider, Jessica Phoenix. And we have Jessica on here for a second to tell us what she thinks about Omega Alpha. Well, hi, Jess. I hear that you use Omega Alpha.
I do. I love their products. I've started using them this year, and the one product that I really love is Anti-Flam. It just takes the sting out of the horse's feet and keeps them moving comfortably, and I know that from using it in our barn, a lot of horses have benefited from it.
You can look for their products at retailers nationwide or visit their website at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
It's Monday.
And 11, beneath the negative and latch on to the affirmative, but don't mess with Mr. In Between. Ah, you got to spread joy to the maximum and bring gloom down to the minimum and have faith. A pandemonium liable to walk up on the sea.
Well, we're back, and we have on with us now Daniel Stewart, who has been a successful international trainer and instructor for over 20 years. In addition to the U.S., he's trained riders in Spain, Portugal, Canada, Mexico, pretty much the whole world. In 2006, he coached riders on several U.S. equestrian teams to successes at World Championships, World Equestrian Games, and Olympics. He's the author of the book Ride Right, and he's widely considered one of the world's leading experts on equestrian sport psychology, biomechanics, and athletics. And we actually had him, Jamie, on the show with us on the Stable Scoop radio show, Helena and I did a while back. And Helena got to go see Dan at the, up in Massachusetts here recently at Equine Affair, and she was so impressed. So, Dan, are you on the phone with us?
I sure am. It's nice to hear from you again. How are you?
Yeah, it's great to talk to you. I have my co-host, Jamie, on here as well.
Hi,
morning,
Dan.
Jamie. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Helena went to I want to talk to you first, if we can, about the one clinic that you did at Equine Affair. And you told us you were going to do this one. And she was just enthralled. She couldn't stop talking about it when she got back. And that's the clinic, I don't know what exactly it's called, but it's the Tear 'em Down, Build 'em Up clinic. And I want you to talk about that, because she was blown away by what you did in that short period of time in that arena. So tell us what that clinic's about and why it's so important.
Well, it's interesting. The name of the clinic pretty much sums it up. The name of the clinics are called psycho clinics. I like how you described it, tear them down and then build them back up, because believe it or not, that's actually part of the point of the clinics. So a psycho clinic, unlike other mounted clinics, works on developing the rider's mental strengths. We spend so many hours working on developing our balance, our symmetry, you know, our physical strength, our physical presence on the horse. But over the last couple of years, I've just noticed that no matter how great a rider's physical strength is, their great shoulders, hips, and leg, that if that rider tends to struggle with performance anxiety or show jitters or pressure or is easily distracted, that the mental weaknesses take the physical strength away. So a couple years ago, we put together a series of clinics called the Psycho Clinics that work on the psychology of riding. You know, it's basically a sports psychology seminar on the horse. Sports psychology seminars are great when they're in a room we can all focus and take notes, but sometimes we need to understand that to really feel, you know, how pressure can affect you, you need to be on the horse. So what Helena saw was something called a psycho clinic, and they're pretty crazy. I think the point is really clear that when the pressure goes up on riders, their potential seems to go down. So my goal in a psycho clinic is to throw a bunch of pressure at the riders, you know, to rush them and distract them and pressure them and see what happens to their performance. And with very, very few exceptions, you know, we start really well. We start nice and easy. The riders, you know, they keep their horses in balance. If they're jumping, they see all their distances. They land well, that sort of thing. But as soon as I start to distract them and increase the pressure, their corners get all tight. They collapse their corners. They miss their distances. They can't find their balance on their landing. So the moral of the story, when you connect the dots, is that in the psycho clinics, when the pressure goes up, we start to see the performance of the riders go down. You know, and we can kind of just say, man, what a shame, or we can literally just, you know, look a little bit deeper and say, wow, you know, when he put me under pressure, I sort of fell apart. And perhaps when I compete under pressure, maybe I'll fall apart. So I'm going to work really hard in the future in my practices to get good at dealing with pressure. So in a nutshell, that's what a psycho clinic is, developing the mental strength of the rider so that all the physical strengths he's developed or he or she has developed all their lives, have a chance to come to the surface and shine when they're competing.
And why that's so important, I think what Helena described it a little more graphically than you just did. She said there were some really good riders in the ring, and she said they were really good riders, and she said they rode and they did their thing just like you said. But then she said you just put them through the ringer. And the idea was, is you know, Jamie, you're an inventor. You go through that at every show, getting ready for cross country or in cross country, something goes wrong. You have to learn, through the psychology to deal with it. Well, that's what he does in these clinics. And Helena said, I'd have been a mess. Because you just do this, do that, do it now. You're not fast enough. Just, you know. But then how, when you, after you beat them down like that and they are a mess, how do you bring them back up in that shorter period of time? And I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to teach them, hey, look, you have 3, 4 minutes, 10 minutes on a cross-country course. You're going to go through all of those things in 10 minutes or anything you're doing out there, not just eventing. And then you got to deal with it in that short period of time and be brought back up. How do you do that in that clinic?
Well, I think it's become a bit of a skill, and oftentimes it is challenging. If we're going to look at the timeline of a psycho clinic, we start the first 5 minutes really easy. I'll give the riders an incredibly easy warm-up, and as I said earlier before, they just own it. They nail the warm-up. They start feeling really great. Then I start to increase the pressure. If the clinic lasts 1 hour, after about 40 minutes, I start to, believe it or not, I start to demand more of the riders. I start to say, all right, now what has happened to you in the last half hour? Have I been distracting you? Have you been hesitating? Have you been doubting yourself? Have you been been feeling pressure? I want you now to start to identify what's happened to you, and I want you to think about it. Ideally, the way that it would work is they would identify, oh, yeah, you're right, okay. So for the last half hour, the pressure's been going up, and I've been really hesitant. All right, this time, I'm just going to go for it. I'm just going to do my best. I'm going to own it. I believe in myself. So the timeline of the psycho clinic, it starts early for 5 or 10 minutes, and then you're right, I just throw everything I can at these poor riders. And, you know, Helena saw it. I had an amazing group of riders at the Equine Affair, a really amazing group of riders. And what I was able to do to those riders in that 30 minutes was pretty shocking. We can take the amazement out of the riders, simply by distracting them or putting them under pressure. But then towards the end of the clinic, I helped the riders to identify, well, that did feel, you did hesitate a little tiny bit. Remember when you looked at me for a little bit of support? Remember when you asked me a question, and I love this, they're on course, they're like, what do I do now? What do I do now? And it always surprises me why a rider would want to talk to me in the middle of a course. You know, I mean, it's super difficult. And the moral of that story is, you know, there's only one confident voice allowed in riding, and that's the rider's confident voice. We don't need to look out, outside of ourselves. So the last 5 minutes of the psycho clinic is very different. I take all the pressure off. So the riders start well. They struggle through the pressure. And then at the very end, I take all the pressure off, and the riders shine. It's amazing who they become when the pressure goes off. And once again, the moral of that story is, can you guys feel what happened to you when you were distracted and under pressure? And the riders, they shake their head. They're like, man, I couldn't believe what happened to me. So the point is, hopefully, that we'll all learn to feel performance anxiety. We talk about it all the time. But if we can feel show jitters, if we can feel what rushing does to us, if we can really feel it, we can fix it. And I've always believed that principle. In order to fix something, you have to be able to feel it. So, the psycho clinic certainly helped the riders feel the pressure and the stress that they potentially will feel when they go to compete. But it's a pretty neat thing, I have to admit.
Well, I guess I have a question because, Dr. Dan, I haven't seen your clinic. And, of course, we're talking to Dr. Dan Stewart. He's a trainer and psychologist. Are you a psychologist, actually?
No, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but I do play one on TV. So.
Okay.
Our fault. Sorry about that.
They call me doctor.
But you didn't even have to do a dissertation.
I swear, that's amazing. I bet you I can get better seats in restaurants now. That's great.
Dan, it just sounds so absolutely incredible what you're doing. And having not seen the clinic, I guess my question would be, I want you to tell what riders you had at Equine Affair, because they're an impressive list, but how do you turn up the pressure? What do you mean by that?
Okay, I tell you what, before we do this, I'd love to tell you a story, and I think that the story will help you and all of the listeners really understand the point of the psycho clinic. And it's interesting, every psycho clinic starts with this story, so it'd be a little unfair for me not to tell you and your listeners the story. So a couple of years ago, I was working with an amazing cross-country rider, like a wonderfully amazing cross-country rider, great posture, great leg, great seat, everything physical you would ever look for in a rider. We were in Belgium. This rider is amazing. She's doing great. She's actually in first after dressage. She's on cross country. She's got three or four elements remaining. She's on cross country. Everything is amazing. And then out of nowhere, this girl gets hit in the chest by this big, massive duck, right? Like this duck comes out of nowhere, smacks her in the chest. The duck is flopping around on the ground. Feathers are flying everywhere. The rider freaks out and then forgot the rest of her course. It was such a shame because this young rider had worked her whole life to get to that event that day. It was truly amazing. She got there. She has everything physical she needed. But she gets hit in the chest by this wayward duck. The duck distracted her, freaked her out, made her lose her focus. As a result, she couldn't finish her course. Now, that rider had been working her whole life on developing the physical traits necessary, the posture, the leg, the seat. But no matter how great her physical attributes were, they weren't strong enough to help her succeed that day because she got distracted and because she lost her focus. And it was that day that we're like, you know what, we need to start developing more distraction pressure-proof riders. Because if that rider can be, of course, hit in the chest by a duck, it's flopping around, feathers go, and she keeps herself focused and moves forward and completes her course, that would have been awesome. That would have been amazing. And I think that story really helps us to see the connection between the mental and the physical ride, between the performance and the potential and that sort of thing. So after that date, the duck to the chest became a metaphor for whatever, you know, can take a rider's greatness away. So, for example, being distracted. You're riding in a class. Let's say you're a hunter jumper. You're in a class, and in the middle of your class, the loudspeaker goes off. As the next class is being presented, and you're like, "Oh, I hate it when that loudspeaker goes off. I hate it when they talk in my class." Well, right there, that distraction became a duck because that distraction takes some portion of your ability to succeed away from you. So, the duck to the chest is a metaphor for whatever takes your greatness away. For example, a rider who is like, "I can't do it, I can't do it, I can't do it." We consider that a bit of a duck to the chest because we're limiting our ability to succeed. Going into a show arena and saying, "Oh my gosh, everybody's watching. I wish they wouldn't watch. I wish my boyfriend, I wish my husband wasn't here watching." That kind of performance anxiety can be a duck to the chest. So anyways, I think the story does a really great job in connecting the mental focus with the physical potential. So at Equine Affair, what I do to the riders is I'll give them an easy course. I'll say, on this, what I've designed here, inside this course that I've designed, there is a bounce line, there is a two stride, there's a double, there's a corner, there's a bending line. Now, go show me double diagonal, corner, bounce, bend, shoot. Go do that. And then I don't give them any time to, you know what I'm saying? I give them very little time to digest that. So I rush them. And then when they're trying to remember it, I'm talking to them. I'm like, "Check your leads, focus on your seat, open that inside shoulder, balance your horse, find your distance." And they're looking at me and they're like, "Would you stop talking? I'm trying to save you." But the whole point is, I'm not going to stop talking because I want those riders to learn how to put themselves in that bubble. You know, athletes, we always, you know, refer to the term being in the zone. Well, when I rush riders and I distract them, I pull them out of the zone for the first 20 or 30 minutes. And then it's the most amazing thing you've ever seen. Halfway through these psycho clinics, with me yelling at the riders and pressuring them, rushing them, they don't even look at me anymore. They don't even know I exist anymore. They literally, if they're smart, they show me the hand and they go, "Listen, yeah, I know you're like an Olympic coach and everything, but I'm not going to listen to you right now." Because I'm a little busy focusing on my course. And I love that. Oh. So in the beginning, I'm like, "Check that lead. Are you in the correct lead?" And they'll literally answer. They go, "Yeah, I'm on the correct lead." And I'm like, "What are you doing talking to me? I'm not important. Get your head back in the game." All right? You know, and then 2 minutes later, like literally 2 minutes later, I'm like, "Okay, what's the next fence? Is it a bounce or is it a bend?" They go, "It's a bend." And I'm like, "Oh, you're talking to me again. Keep your head in the game." So there's all of these little tricks. Now, this is important. Psycho clinics can be, I really do believe they're one of the funnest clinics you'll ever ride in. And the young ladies who rode with me at Equine Affair, they all came up to me afterwards and said, "That's the hardest thing we've ever done, but that was the funnest thing we've ever done." So when I distract the riders, when I, for example, I say, "Are you doing a bend or a bounce line?" They're like, "Bend." And I'm like, "Oh, you're talking to me again. Focus, get back in the game." You know, I'm laughing at them, and then they start to laugh a little bit. And now I think this is important. They need to understand The lesson here is to see what happens to them when they get distracted. But the other lesson is for them to remember why they ride, and it's for the love of riding. So a psychoclinic helps to develop the belief that working to become a more focused, pressure-proof rider is a positive thing. But the riding still needs to be enjoyable. It still needs to be funny. It still needs to have some humor in it. So the psychoclinics, they're just nuts. They're crazy. The riders, you know, they just shake their head. They can't believe what happens to them. But they laugh the whole way through. If I do a good job, they're all laughing. I don't have anybody. I've always said that my goal with every psychoclinic is to make sure I have one, you know, person crying by the end of the class, you know, like over in the corner weeping softly.
Do they cry? Really?
If I do a really good job, I can't make anybody cry, but I can make a lot of people laugh. So, the connection is there. It's amazing how poorly they ride. And at Equine Affair, it was funny. I pulled the trainer of the, I had three young ladies from the same barn up in Massachusetts. I pulled the trainer into the arena, and I said, Tracy, when is the last time you saw your three riders ride so poorly? She just shook her head. She goes, I can't believe how poorly they rode. And then we back up and we go, now, why did they ride poorly? They rode poorly because they were under pressure. They rode poorly because I distracted them. They rode poorly because they felt so much performance anxiety. And then I asked the question to the audience. How many of you in the audience have ever felt pressure? How many of you ever felt rushed while you're competing? Well, if you can say yes to those questions, then maybe what we have to admit is that when we feel those negative emotions, we end up, you know, riding in somewhat of a negative way. So, I love it. I think the psychoclinics are great. And it's basically the first time we've ever really made an effort to focus on developing the mentally strong rider in addition to the physically strong rider. So,
Daniel, it's interesting because I'm guessing that the vast majority of your clinics, the participants are competitive riders. But I got to thinking because I don't compete anymore, but I ride as much as I can because I'm one of those people who can't exist without a horse to ride. And most of the people at the barn where I ride are what you would call pleasure rider.
Right.
And I can – anybody who rides a horse needs to go through that process to be a better and safer rider because you see so many people who look at riding as a pleasurable, enjoyable experience, so they don't take lessons, they don't take clinics. Maybe they go to they watch some of the DVDs or they do a lot of groundwork, but they never go through the process of being under pressure while they work with their horse. So when they get out on a trail ride, the horse acts up. Maybe physically they've got the skills, but mentally they are completely unprepared to deal with it. So people who ride for pleasure, this is an amazing, important process to learn about yourself.
Well, I loved what you said because, you know, pressure doesn't just hit riders who are competitive. You know, when I speak at the World Equestrian Games or at a place like Equine Affair, half the people coming up to me say the pressure that I feel is getting back on a horse after a fall. You know, oh man, I fell a couple of months ago. I haven't gotten back up, and now I'm making excuses why I shouldn't get back up. You know, a lot of people, for example, would say something like, you know, I love the trot, but the canter is a little too fast for me. I feel pressure when I get to the canter. So I guess what I'm saying here is that pressure doesn't just need to be associated with showing and competing.
Right.
I think that's a really good point that, that we can be distracted in lessons. We can be fearful. We can feel pressure in any other situations. Now, the most amazing thing about the psychoclinics, two things. The first thing is that once you've seen a psychoclinic, you can teach it to yourself or your peers. You don't need to be an instructor. This course that I told you a little bit earlier, there is a bounce, there's a bend, there's a corner, there's a double line and a single line. There's all of these really neat things that you can do. Now, I could literally take two 12-year-old girls and say, all right, okay, the first young lady, she's Sarah. I'll say, Sarah, I want you to come up with Caitlin's course. And then Sarah, and I do this in my classes all the time, Sarah sits there and she goes, double bounce, corner, diagonal, shoot, like that. And then Caitlin has to go and do it. So what I always say is now that you've seen the psychoclinic, teach it to each other because the more often you put yourself into a situation of pressure and distraction and rushing, the quicker you're going to overcome it. You know, there's a principle in psychology, physiology called the overload principle. And it's, you know, it's a little bit like I remember in the 80s when we used to do aerobics, you'd wear ankle weights. You know, you make it a little bit more difficult and you develop a little quicker as a result. In riding, we use the overload principle, you know, when we ride without stirrups or when we jump with our eyes closed, things like that. So the overload principle is like, it's this really great principle. In fact, what I'm doing with the psycho clinic is I'm overloading people with pressure and stress so that when they go to a competition, it doesn't feel anything nearly as stressful as what they've gone through. And as a result, that brings with them an added feeling of confidence. Well, if I could do that amazingly hard psycho clinic, this course of 12 fences with numbers on it is going to be really easy in comparison. Or if I can do that crazy psycho clinic, you know what? I can actually start to canter. The canter doesn't bother me so much anymore. I've developed a new sense of pride, a new sense of belief in myself. So the psycho clinics that, you know, initially they were designed to help some of the U.S. team riders out. But what we've identified is even youngsters just learning to trot can do this. You don't put jumps up, you put poles on the ground. And then you give them a little bit of a course. So while they're learning to look for their changes of diagonal, they're having to find, do I turn left or do I turn right? It's a neat class, all ages of riders, all disciplines of riders, flat, over fences, English, Western, everybody can get a kick out of them. But the moral of the story is let's get good at handling pressure and distractions. So it doesn't bother us when we compete or when we fall and need to get back up or when we trot and need to want to learn to love the canter or, for example, something I did my whole life, avoid the sitting trot, okay? It's bouncy. Okay, I'm just going to post, all right? I got this awesome posting trot. I'll just post so I can avoid the sitting trot. Well, when you get in having to do the sitting trot, there's just that little tiny bit of lack of confidence. So, I love what you say. This isn't just about riders competing. This is about anybody identifying a challenge, knowing that you have two choices with a challenge. You can avoid it. And unfortunately, if you avoid a challenge, you also avoid the feeling of success you achieve when you overcome it. Or you can go, yeah, this is a challenge. Cantering is a challenge. I'm going to do this psycho clinic. I'm going to develop this belief that I am great and I can do these things, and I'm going to get that canter, and I'm going to love it. So, yeah, good point. It's for everybody, all levels, and competitors and non-competitors alike.
We are talking with Dan Stewart, who is a international trainer and instructor. Obviously, he's cornered the market on breaking down and then building back up. Dan, it's amazing talking to you because, first of all, let me give out the phone number. If anybody else wants to ask Dan a question, our number is 347-637-3238. You kind of answered my question before that you do offer these clinics to people other than the Olympians that you've coached and all of the countries where you've been. You've coached the top riders, but you do it for individuals. Now, I had something happen to me psychologically one time, and I'll tell you how I overcame it. You can tell me if there's a little bit better way.
Okay.
And this is what, So I had a really bad fall off of a green horse coming up to a jump. He parked, and I went forward, and, disaster happened. Then he jumped as I'm forward, flew over his head. But, of course, in your brain, you say, oh, hold on to the reins. Hold on to the reins. Don't let go. Well, that's really stupid, by the way. Let go of the reins. Let your horse run away. Who cares? Because I then got trampled underneath him, and it was a very painful fall. What happened after that is I was afraid to jump a green horse at all. I mean, I was terrified to jump after that. And I know everybody has those big falls, and they have those big moments where, I'm never going to jump again. And I actually dealt with that for about 2 years, dealing with the fear to jump again. And somebody gave me the advice, because I was bored riding because I wasn't jumping my passion. And somebody told me, just to set up the fences at 18 inches and do it until you're bored. And then, maybe raise them up after you're bored to tears and you hate it again, raise them up. And I got back to jumping my horse over the 3-6 courses and my green horse learned at the same time. So what do you say for those people that have that big mental block, have had a bad fall and they're afraid? What do you tell them to do?
it's interesting because your story is so common, and you've heard it from other writers, and Glenn has heard it in other writers, and I hear it every weekend. In your situation brings up a lot of really neat points. There's something in sports psychology called memory motivation, and memory when it comes to writing, it can be a huge helper, a huge hinder. You know, I've always taught, you know, writers, whenever you get bored, unmotivated, stressed, recreate a massively powerful, passionate, wonderful memory from your past in your mind, so that you can, you know, so that you can get yourself into a good mood, for example. I used to live in Andalusia, Spain, one of the hottest places in the world, and we used to cool our hot horses down by swimming them in the ocean. And this is what I figured out. If you take a big, fat Andalusian far enough out into the ocean, you can actually turn him around and surf that sucker in. And I used to just horse surf every day, right? Now, if I'm nervous or if I'm tense, literally, I did this at the dentist the other day, okay? If I'm nervous or I tense or I'm bored or unmotivated, I close my eyes and I relive my horse surfing memory, because that memory is so powerful, so passionate, it motivates me. Now, what you were doing was pure psychology, pure sports psychology, but you were using a negative memory. You were using the memory of the fall, the hang on, must not let go memory. Unfortunately, it's a negative memory, and it can motivate you in a bit of a negative way. You know, for example, I want to avoid the jump, just like I wanted to avoid the sitting
down. Yeah.
But like I said, if you avoid it, you also avoid the feeling of satisfaction when you overcome it. Now, there's another word in addition to memory motivation that I think is really important here, and that is control. All right. Now, I've always talked, and I know that Glenn and I spoke about this before, about the power of the letter C. You know, I can say I'm nervous.
Yep.
You know, I hope I don't fall off, or I can say I'm calm, cool, collected, confident, competent, courageous, centered, capable, careful, competitive, consistent, coordinated, cute, crazy, whatever.
Okay.
The letter
that.
C is it. Oh, the letter C is the most positive letter in the English language because it starts the greatest number of positive words. So I'm thinking, however, the most important C emotion of all is control. What you struggled with is that you felt a momentary, or at least the perception of loss of control. So the horse parks in front of the fence, you're coming up, you're holding on to those reins, not because it's going to hurt less when you hit the ground, it's going to hurt anyways, it's because you couldn't give up that control, and the reins are the perception of control. Now, what ends up happening is because your control was jarred, it's difficult for you to get, you know, back up onto the horse, figuratively or literally. What your friend suggested to do, I think, was awesome, was just amazing. There's something called desensitization. Identify what challenges you, knock it down a bit, and then do it over and over, you know, over and over again until it stops bothering you. So by taking, if you're going, you know, if you're going 3-3, going back, you know, to 2-6, and doing exactly what you said, you do it till you're bored. You do it till, like, okay, I'm ready. I've got to move on. This is killing me. I'm so capable of this. And then you stay there for another 3 weeks. And you want to move on. You have the desire. You have the need to check that box, to feel, you know, that you've accomplished it. So to stay there and then just work up incrementally back to where you were. So, you know, we talk about memory motivation. We talk about the perception of control and then desensitize yourself to it. But I'm going to put this all in one. This is a gift to you. Now, here's the wrapping on the box, however, and it is goal setting. I would have to say that so many riders, let's say that happens. The horse stops, parks, you go flying, you don't let go, you feel uncomfortable, you even get hurt a little tiny bit. So many riders tell me that they're upset 2 weeks later because they're not where they were before. It's like, oh, my gosh, I used to be so good. I'm not so good anymore. Well, what they're forgetting is that they have gone through a stressful situation, and they need to increase incrementally back to where they were. So when I mention goal setting, I believe too many people think that their goal should be to be where they were yesterday, today, after a traumatic experience. What we recommend, set out some goals. Set out, you know, some short-term goals. You know, like you said, here's your first short-term goal. Start at 2-3. Okay, within 3 weeks, I want to be at 2-6. Within 8 weeks, I want to be at 2-9. Within 3 months, I'd like to be back where I was, you know, at 3-3. Instead of just saying, I came off yesterday, it hurt, I got jarred, my confidence is massively shaken, tomorrow I need to be back where I was yesterday. think that the true thing to remember here, set those short-term goals. Let yourself walk up that ladder one step at a time to reach the top rung, rather than sitting on the ground trying to jump and jump and jump to a height that we might not be able to achieve. So kind of, I love the story because, you know, we can talk about that memory motivation, you know, desensitize yourself, even, you know, try and regain the perception of control. But I think if we don't focus on setting reasonable goals and those short-term goals, I think we might get ourselves in trouble.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that's really helpful for, I know for me, I'm sitting here taking notes right now. I'm like, don't be in control, goal setting, well, you know, and writing everything down. It's absolutely fascinating. And I know that there's a lot of riders out there, too, that have had the same experience. So, you know, just tell us real quick before we let you go, where can people find you?
Oh, well, they can find me in airports. I swear, I teach.
You'll
I
be
teach
in Detroit today at 2 if you'd like a consultation.
I'll be
over
at
by
US
the
Air,
Starbucks.
Yeah, I'll be at Starbucks at the Detroit airport today, next week. Yeah. No, I travel a great deal. I teach psychoclinics and sports psychology seminars. I also teach a video analysis clinic where we videotape riders and then do frame-by-frame analysis. So every weekend I fly to a different city and I teach 1 or 2 days worth of clinics in a different city. I love the question. We just developed a new website, and it's really slick. I sure like it. There's
I know. It's much better than your old one. I went there today and I went, oh my God, he's got a new look.
Well, that old website, I think it was built in the 30s. the website loaded to the left of the page and everything. So anyways, the website.
Now you got a new website and you're a doctor. That's terrific.
And that's a doctor. That's so great. My wife is going to be so proud of me. That's just awesome.
She's going to think, wow, he finally made something of himself after all these years.
Yeah, her parents are going to be like, yeah, my son-in-law's a doctor. That's so great.
The money's going to roll in. Nice.
He's not doing that horse thing anymore.
Good. I'm glad he's off of those horses now. Make some real money. But the website is Stewart Clinics. That's plural, StewartClinics.com. And your listeners, they can read all about the psychoclinics and the sports psychology seminars there.
Great.
Well, Dan, we had a Facebook posting when you first came on here from Beth, who said, purchase Daniel's book after last time he joined Horse Radio Network Stable Scoop. Look forward to listening on podcasts when she gets off work today. Dan was with us, Helene and I, on the Stable Scoop. It was episode number 115. You can go to stablescoop.com, and we spent almost an hour with us, and that was a fascinating conversation, too, so you can hop on over there to listen to more. Dan, of course, you'll be back for what we have titled your segment, Going Psycho. So you'll be back with your Going
Psycho with
segment.
The doctor.
Yeah, that's right. we'll have you back again next month. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
It was
Thank
so nice
you.
Talking. You're always a pleasure.
All right, bye. So that was Dan. He I told you he'd like him. Isn't he fascinating?
Oh, my gosh. I could have listened to that guy for hours. Helena was right. What a fascinating. I have got to go see one of those. I don't know if I could subject myself to the torture initially, but it sure would be fun to go see one of those clinics. I mean, if given the opportunity, of course I would ride in it, because something like that is so unique and it is so exactly what you need to do, especially competing. But like Jennifer said, in your everyday riding, you're faced with stuff. You know, like the bicycle going down the road was something that probably I got more tense about than my horse. Is that, you know, those kinds of things that we have to learn to work through. And what an amazing guy to be able to, you know, to paint that picture and present it in the way that he does. That's very cool. I'm glad he came on.
Yeah, I want to drag all my hacker friends over to one of those. And okay, let's have a horse hackers psycho clinic, because I don't compete anymore and really don't have any intention to compete anymore, but I can see so many situations that I am in, as well as other riders that I hack around with. It's like, oh, it would be so useful to be able to recognize that I'm making an excuse to not deal with something and to weave your way through it, to get through out the other side.
Or when you get hit in the chest by a flying duck.
Or when you get hit in the chest by a flying duck.
Exactly.
Let's break for the news here. We have a special guest doing the news this week. Chris is off. She has a well-deserved vacation for this Thanksgiving week. And those of you that listened to the 2010 radio show for 2 years will recognize this voice.
This is Horse Radio Network News, and I'm Samantha Clark for Horses in the Morning. It's Monday, the 22nd of November. The Asian Games wrapped up this weekend, and Buddhist monk Kenki Sato claimed the individual event in gold medal, at the same time helping his country Japan secure the team title in China. Sato was lying second after the dressage on Toy Boy and added nothing further to his score to take the individual honours ahead of Korea's Jai Silk Shon. Sato's teammate, Yoshaki Oiwa, took individual bronze, team silver went to Thailand, and team bronze to host nation China. Kenki Sato was actually here in Kentucky earlier this autumn, competing at the World Equestrian Games, where he finished 35th on hop and skip. 30 riders from 7 nations contested the event at 1-star level. Sadly, we have more news of another owner-rider dispute involving a World Equestrian Games horse. Australian event rider Peter Atkins and H.J. Hampton became an internet sensation when the helmet cam videos of their clear cross-country rides around Rolex and the Weg went viral. News broke this weekend that earlier this month, Linda Martin took the horse from Atkins' barn without his permission or knowledge. On the 17th of November, Atkins obtained a court order effectively returning the horse to him, and a hearing has been scheduled for November the 29th to determine whether it will be extended. Linda Martin purchased the horse in 2007, originally for her niece, but after 4 months, when the horse proved to be too much of a project, Atkins assumed all expenses and responsibilities, and they reached a verbal agreement. To watch the cross-country rides via helmet cam, visit www.runhennyrun.com. If you've been suffering from WEG withdrawal, and it's okay to admit it, and you're not the only one, you can start getting really excited about the London 2012 Olympics, especially if you're planning on being a groom. Details of the groom's accommodation were unveiled in a progress report to the FEI General Assembly in Taipei earlier this month by Tim Hadaway, the 2012 equestrian manager. The 4-star Devonport House Hotel in Greenwich, just 300 metres from the stables, has been chosen for the grooms, and it's a definite step up in the world from the FEMA trailers they had to share here at the Kentucky Horse Park during the WEG. Peden's Bloodstock will once again be in charge of transport, and it was also revealed that England's most famous show jumping brothers, John and Michael Whittaker, have been helping out with the show jumping arena surfaces. That's all we have time for this morning, I'm afraid. This is the Horse Radio Network. I'm Samantha Clark, and I'll be back tomorrow with more news for Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
We're going to listen to it again. let's see, Glenn, are you there?
This is Glenn the Geek and Jamie Jennings back with you on Horses in the Morning. Yes, I am here, and thank you so much to Samantha for chiming in and helping out here. She does a great job with the news.
She really does. So what is going on, Glenn, in the news with the whole – why are owners coming into barns and stealing their horses away in the night? It's this like the third story we've heard like this, and it's all happening in November. And now Peter Atkins' horse, H.J. Hampton, who has, completely –
Run, Henny, run!
I know, it's caught the hearts of everybody because he's the one that wears the helmet cam. And the Saint-Francais gelding is just, so phenomenal. And I don't understand why people think it's okay. And the courts have got to see that. You do not just walk into a barn and take a horse away. You don't do that. Go to the court system first. You don't steal your horse from your trainer, the part owner. so, I'm sorry, this just gets me so fired up because I just don't understand, you know, with Young and Sam, that whole thing going on, it's just, it's so frustrating to hear this starting to happen.
And I think this one was, you know, obviously Tortoulis was high profile and Michael Young's horse because he was the gold medalist there at the World Equestrian Games. But this one was so special because anybody that's remotely interested in eventing or not has seen the Run Henny Run videos where he puts the helmet cam and he, you know, rides the cross country courses with the helmet cam. So, you know, we become attached sort of to that. So it's kind of neat. You know, it's a neat thing that he did, and he had such a bond with this horse. You know, he brought this horse from nothing, you know, as she said in the news there. And, you know, he's the one that's really, truly bonded with the horse. You'll see pictures of his kid on this horse. You know, this is a terrific horse. So
yeah,
I hope this gets resolved in a good way.
Me too.
Well,
and you go to his website, Glenn, just real quick, you can see pictures of his son, Owen, leading a 4-star event horse around. And actually, he said that his first horse show was on Henny. So, you know, it's just a really, really amazing bond that these two had, and I hope it gets resolved in the way that he wants.
Well, we're going to be up here very shortly with Kathleen from Kathleen's Wild Ride. I think we're actually trying to get her on the phone right now, and I'm checking to see it. Yep, I don't think she's there yet. So we're going to we have a caller on here. I think we can take right now, Aubrey from North Carolina, and we'll get Aubrey on. Hi, Aubrey.
Hi, Glenn. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you so much for giving us a call.
Oh, thanks for taking my call. I talked to you guys. I guess probably like the second or third show about the long format unrecognized event we were going to.
How'd it go? Must have gone good if you're calling.
Well, it went sort of good. we had a really, really, really good time. It was great fun. All the management was great. I ended up, my mare does not stop cross country, and we actually had a couple kind of stupid stops at some of the smallest fences on the course, but. I think there were only 17 entries total, and out of the 17, only 10 of us actually finished. So we ended up second. So it was a championship course, and I think it caught some people by surprise. But I think our problems were at probably some of the easier jumps, but they were on the hardest ground, and I think her feet were stinging a little after doing all the roads and tracks and the steeplechase and stuff. But
the courses were
designed by Tremaine Cooper, and They were tough, but it was a blast.
Well, let's reiterate what you did. There was a long format. What level was it? Training level, prelim, what?
It was actually, they ran beginner novice through training. We did training.
Okay. And so there was a long format event, which means, Glenn, that you include the roads and tracks, which is a big trot set that you do. Then you go out on a steeplechase course. Then you go trot several more miles, and then you go do cross country. And that's what eventing was based on, was that endurance day. But they've shortened it now for, you know, urban sprawl and the safety and comfort and, all, you know, a million different reasons. They've pretty much taken that long format out of the sport of eventing, and now you just have the cross country phase. But there are some places that are holding on to that, and that's where Aubrey went, was to a long format event in North or South Carolina, right?
It was in
South
Carolina.
And it was unrecognized, unsanctioned by the USEA. Is that correct? Is this like a whole new, you know, backlash at the USEA for, you know, pulling formats? I don't get it.
You know, well, what they're actually running a recognized long format, I believe in March, maybe. So it's kind of a test event to get ready for it.
Oh, okay, good.
But they brought in, it was run very USEA regulated. I think Sue Smithson was the head TD, and the president of the ground jury, I think. And so it was very, like, they brought in all the big wigs, and it was interesting.
Okay.
We walked the course with Tremaine Cooper, and it was pretty cool.
I was so worried that it was just like, you know, we're just going to get out there and run a long format whether they like it or not. But it's good to know that there were some big waves on hand kind of testing it out.
Oh, yeah,
that's
it
really
was
cool.
Definitely. I think, I can't remember who the vet was, but it was, you know, Olympic level vet. Everybody that was there were FEI recognized sanctioned people, and they brought in the biggest people they could possibly find. So.
Well, Aubrey, do you have any pictures of you at this event?
Oh yeah, I got a million of them.
Well, you need to post hop on over and post one of them on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. We want to see you.
Sure, we'll do.
All right, great. Definitely. Well, thank you, Aubrey, for calling and giving us the update. We appreciate it.
Well,
congrats. Woohoo,
thanks.
You finished.
I'm thrilled.
All right, bye, Aubrey.
Bye.
That's the kind of thing where you, like, if you finish a long format event, you it doesn't matter how you place. You finished a long format event.
That's right. You survived the day. Yep.
Exactly.
Your horse survived the day.
Yep, in celebration. Your horse stayed sound enough to go and jump show jumping the next day. So congratulations to her and everybody that competed at that. That's awesome.
Well, Jamie, right now we have Kathleen on us from Kathleen's Wild, or on with us from Kathleen's Wild Ride. She is a few short days from finishing this 6-month adventure of hers. Hi, Kathleen, you're on the air.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
We're great. How are you is the important question.
I'm actually doing pretty good.
Now, you crossed into New Jersey, right?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey.
Okay,
so for those
cool.
who don't know, Glenn, because we have a lot of new listeners, Kathleen has ridden all the way across the country. Is that correct?
Well, most of the way across the country. I have taken a couple short trailer rides where it was best for the horses. But, yep, pretty much from Oregon to New Jersey so far.
Yeah, she's pretty much ridden the whole way. There was a few short trailer rides. But, you know, I had the opportunity to go up and meet Kathleen in Ohio, and that seems like, you know, just that seems so long ago to me, actually. But yet, you know, it's only been a couple of weeks. You got through Pennsylvania. Now, we've been teasing this whole show about where you're going to finish this ride, you and your two Appaloosas. Mm-hmm. You're in New Jersey. You're in northern New Jersey.
Yep.
So, and you're going to finish in a matter of a couple of days, right?
Yes, I am. I should be done probably Wednesday, Thursday at the very latest.
Okay, and what are the plans? Where are you going to finish?
Well, I'm looking to finish at Battery Park in New York City.
Which is right across the water from the Statue of Liberty, right?
Liberty.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I almost said Empire State Building, but that's
setting
a different
up police
part of...
escorts into town and making sure it's the safest possible route we can get the horses across.
You have
police
escorts going through New York?
That's the only way I think she's going through New York.
Awesome.
Now, this is also coming up on Thanksgiving Day. It's a big parade in New York. Are they going to shove you in the parade somewhere?
I don't think so, but I've had a couple people say I should call and ask, but who knows?
Yeah, because it's going to be quite a busy day in the city.
Yeah, that's why I want to be there on Wednesday, not Thursday.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking for you, Kathleen? The chances of you riding, you're saying Wednesday or Thursday, which means, you know, potentially you could get there Thursday morning, which is the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade that goes on there, and there is unbelievable amounts of potentially disastrous things. I mean, I know your horses are really, really broken, quiet, and everything. But, you know, seeing a giant, you know, 8-story tall Mickey Mouse floating above their heads might be a might be a little scary. So my one piece of advice to you is giddy up, gallop, go, hurry. Thursday morning, run!
Yeah, well, I was thinking that if I get there and I figure I'm not going to make it in on Wednesday, that I might just hang out where I'm at and not ride in until Saturday, because I don't want to ride in on Black Friday either.
Oh,
no,
yeah,
that'd probably be better. And now, we've been following you, Helene and I. You've been on with us almost every week for this 6-month journey across the country, and we have been busting your chops about going into New Jersey since the day you left, I think, and just picking on you. Helene, of course, is from New York, and we were just picking on you. And then I see on your Facebook page, by the way, just go to Facebook and search for Kathleen's Wild Ride if you want to follow this last couple of days. And then I see on your Facebook page that you had the first time in this country in New Jersey somebody turned you away.
Yep.
What do you mean?
I stopped at a bar that had a huge picnic area behind it, Gunner's Landing, and asked them if I could stay there for the night. And the guy looked at me and went, nope. Well, actually, he looked at his daughter and said no. He didn't even tell me.
She was turned away for the first time.
Wait, you were going to camp?
The entire trip, somebody told me no. Was here in New Jersey.
Wow.
Welcome to Jersey.
That's okay. A bunch of people like stepped up and said, well, heck, you can come stay here. At the Mackey Farm store last night with Holly and her husband, Devlin. They were absolutely wonderful putting me up there.
This is crazy. I'm still wrapping my brain around this because, you know, I haven't followed you the entire year like Glenn has. He's talked to you pretty much almost every week. So you ride across the country from Oregon. You're currently in New Jersey. Somebody told you no, but what I'm understanding is you're stopping at people's houses and, like, camping in their backyards or with two horses?
Sometimes I stop at people's houses, camp in their backyards. Usually I look for a farm. You know, that has livestock already, and we, you know, put the horses up in their field, or I find a campground and I highline the horses with some trees. A few nights ago, I actually spent three nights at a hotel. My horses were highlined in the yard of the hotel, the Jonas Hotel over in Pennsylvania, They put
That's
it up
funny.
For three nights.
Wow.
Now, Kathleen,
yeah,
you've been doing this
where
for...
you can stay.
You've been doing this for more than 6 months. There has to be sort of mixed feelings. One, glad to be finished, too. Not so glad to be finished.
Well, there is. I mean, I'm really excited to get home. It's been 6 months where I've been unemployed, which is a little weird for me. But and my horses, I'm worried about them. I want them to go have a nice long rest. You know, it's just, and then I'm like, well, crap, I'm finishing, and it would be very sad because I'll no longer be traveling down the road saying, can't you walk any faster?
They're like, why? Why should we go any faster? We're just going down the road. It's just an endless country. So when you do get finished, Kathleen, and you get there, you get to New York City, you dismount, then what?
Well, right now the issue for me that's causing me a little stress is I'm trying to find trailering for my horses to go home. And so I've got a couple people who volunteered to pick them up from New York and take them back to their farms and hold them for me till I can find trailering for them. And then there's a possibility I might actually be able to ship them on the railroads, which would actually be kind of cool. But what I do when I get there, besides the fact that I sit down for about 20 minutes and just think, oh, thank God I want to be in that saddle for a while. We work on getting them back home where they belong.
We'll be keeping an eye on Kathleen here on Facebook over the next couple of days. It's Kathleen's Wild Ride on Facebook. Just do a search for that. Kathleen, we'll try and check in with you again on Wednesday morning and see how close you are or if the police are ahead of you and behind you.
Okay.
Run, Kathleen,
all right,
run!
Wednesday, I'll be there.
Ready up! Gallop, hurry!
Bye, Kathleen.
Bye.
Well, there she is. She's in Jersey. You can hear the cars going by. And, you know, she's going to get to a very busy section here shortly.
Glenn, so let me – she's on a horse, right? She's not listening to this show, right?
Right. Yes, correct.
She's insane.
Well, the name of her blog is – you might think this is crazy, but – so that's the name of her blog. So she knows she's a little nuts. We've all told her that for the last 6 months. But guess what? You know, she had the guts to do this where you and I would never have the guts to do and stay with strangers. She's basically spent no money along the way. People have fed her. They've put her up. They've fed her horses. It's been an amazing journey that she's writing a book about now about the people that she's met and the things she's learned along the way. She's met some of the coolest people in this country that just makes you realize that we still have a lot of good people left in the United States of America. So
yeah, no, I think it's amazing. I would never be able to accomplish something like that, I don't think. But what I'm curious about is, and I didn't get to ask her this, but maybe you know, what was her motivation for this?
She had this on her bucket list. She wanted to do it before she died. It was just something that she's always wanted to do. She decided that she was at the point of her life. She better do it now. And She did it. She just did it. And we all thought she was nuts when she started. But here she is. And, you know, she's here. She's at the end of this ride. And then we really thought she was crazy. Aline and I beat her up pretty good in the one show about ending in New York City. We're like, can't you just go to the beach somewhere in Jersey? But,
yeah,
you know, she wanted to end in New York City. So her friends, Mary and Jay both got on the phone. They found some police who were willing to help, and it looks like she's going to get a police escort the whole way through. So more power to her. She's gotten it done. She's definitely gotten it done. Well, Janie, I have something that went for you that I uploaded during the show while you were talking to Daniel. By the way, that was probably one of the most fascinating half an hours. He is just, so cool a guy. But you were talking about riding that green horse. And what happens so much many times, and Lena and I have talked about this a thousand times on Stable Scoot Show, you never put the green person on the green horse. How many of your students say, you know, they take riding lessons with you on the school horses, and then they want to go out and get a horse, and they want to go to the track, you know, and get that green horse? Well, I have a little something for you that I want to play. Take a listen. This is Marianne Kennedy, who's going to be with us on our special Thanksgiving Day episode, our special musical episode. Listen to the beginning of this song. I think you're going to appreciate it.
Green on green makes black and blue. Wouldn't ride that horse if I were you. It's like walking on a hot, tight wire. Dynamite too close to fire. Today you might get off scot-free, but chances are eventually he'll go up. You come down, that's when you'll understand this song. I can't tell you what to do, but green on green makes black and blue.
That's the beginning of the song, and then it goes on from there.
Oh my gosh, green on green makes black and blue.
That is the bluest
statement. Oh my gosh. Now, you know what people do is, it's not that they go to the racetrack. I mean, granted, a lot of people do, but my students, and I'm sure that people all over the place are the instructors or the horse people, they go, oh, you know what? We're going to get our daughter to get a green horse, and then they'll grow up together.
Let's
buy our daughter a three-year-old unbroken, first of all, because they're cheaper. They're a lot cheaper.
Right.
And they'll grow up together. Okay, that is a bad idea. Don't ever do that, ever.
Well, that's funny. Green on green.
Black and blue.
Black and blue. You'll get to hear. We're going to play that whole song with Marianne Kennedy here with us on Thursday on the special Thanksgiving episode. You're going to want to hear it. But, you know, that gives you an appreciation for the kind of song she does. She is a horse person. She understands horse people. She has some very funny songs and some very poignant songs, and we're going to get to hear all of them on Thursday. This has been fun. What an absolutely fun episode. We've gotten comments on Facebook from a couple of people. Karen said, I need to attend a psycho clinic, not for competition, but for concentration. Great show today.
Yeah,
Robert Dunn, our friend, said, I want to attend a Daniel Stewart clinic. He sounds like way too much fun. Plus, he has such a great attitude about working your horse. Looking forward to hearing Kathleen now, because I know he's been following Kathleen's wild ride. We wanted to remind everybody that you can win an Omega Alpha gift pack worth $150 just by posting a posting of any kind on our Horses in the Morning page over there. Say hi. Tell us when you're listening to the show. Put a picture of your horse up. We don't care. Whatever you want to post over there, we just want to hear from you, and that'll qualify you for winning the $150 worth of Omega Alpha products, their welcome pack. Thank you to Omega Alpha for being part of Horses in the Morning and also part of the Horse Radio Network. You can find them at omegaalpha.ca. If you need a natural supplement, if you're looking for something in that vein, go to Omega Alpha first. Check them out at omegaalpha.ca. Well, this has been a whole lot of fun. I had a whole bunch of news stories I wanted to cover with you, and we have about two more minutes, and I just wanted to cover one because we talked about it at the end of last week, and I know it means a whole lot to you, Janie, and that is the Roy Rogers, a follow-up to their museum closing, and they auctioned off a bunch of their stuff, but a bunch of it went to RFC TV. And they are going to be playing some of the Roy Rogers episodes. RFC will show 34 of the movies that are owned by the Roy Rogers family. They were all filmed between 38 and 50. And they're going to be showing those all over the next year. And also, they're going to be showing a bunch of the programs that they have access to of the TV shows. They're going to be showing them as well that were aired in the 50s. So there's some Roy Rogers coming up thanks to RFC getting involved. So
I wanted
to give you that little bit of news.
Good. Some new audience for Roy Rogers. That's great.
Yes, that's correct. All right. Well, be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network. We have a bunch of them at horseradionetwork.com. And you can follow us, as I said, on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning. And we are on Twitter at Horse Radio.
Of course, if you missed this live show right now, you can listen to the recorded version on our website or any show that you missed on our affiliate website. You can even download them on iTunes. We'll be back tomorrow morning, and we're going to talk to you about a bunch of different things, but just keep in mind that I will be broadcasting live from the in-laws' house in Norman, Oklahoma, so that'll be fun. I'll be teeth-chattering in their 47-degree house. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, Jamie. Goodbye, Jennifer. Thank you both, and thank you to Dr. Dan for joining us today. Have a good ride, everybody. Stay safe and wear your helmet.
See y'all tomorrow.
Bye.